We're holding the last line of Memches Amud Beis. We started talking about, so our Mishnah had said, Hanizokin Shaman Lahem Be'idis, that's a person who Nizik gets paid if the other person is going to pay him in land, if the Mazik is going to pay him in land, then he pays with Idis. So we said, now there's a Pasuk to that effect that says, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kami Yishalim. So why is the Mishnah listing this among the things that the Chachamim set up if they took an oath? So we started answering. Abaye had answered that our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. He holds that, so when we say Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kami Yishalim, that he, the Mazik, has to pay with the best of his field or the best of his vineyard, the best of whose. For example, if the Nizek's best property, his Idis, is equal only to the Ziburis, to the worst of the Mazik. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, so Abaye explains, Rabbi Shmuel would say, Midar Isa, then all you have to do is pay your Ziburis. The Mazik would pay his Ziburis. It's only Ziburis, but it's Idis compared to what the Nizek has, and Rabbi Shmuel would say that's enough. So we'll be discussing what exactly when Rabbi Shmuel says in a Braisa, then he said when he says Meitav Sadeo Shel Nizek or Meitav Kami Shel Nizek, what does that mean exactly? First we didn't realize yet that it meant this business about where the Mazik has Idis, that's where the Mazik has Ziburis that's equal to the Nizik's Idis, etc. We thought what we meant is, for example, that if the one person's animal went and damaged a scrawny plot of land in the other one's field, then maybe he should have to pay with the best one. The Gemara says, how could that be? And if you're saying that it's a suffix, what kind of plot it was, then hamotz mechaver levaraya. So we're holding the last line of Memches Amud Beis. El Omer, Abba Yaakov, Hochav Maya Skinan. So Rabbi Achav Yaakov says, you know what we're talking about? This machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, nothing to do particularly with where one plot was eaten and we don't know which it was. It's true. Then we could only say that the value of a scrawny plot of vegetables or whatever it was that was growing over there would be what the Mazik is paying. And he could pay with metalplin or with karka. If he's going to be able to pay with karka, then it has to be with Idis. But Hochav Mayaskin, instead of Achav Yaakov, we're talking about over here, like we said before, when Charlie said Idis the Nizik, because he Buddhist the Mazik. Where the Nizek's best field, his Idis, is only equivalent to the Ziburis of the Mazik. In other words, the case is, Rashi explains, so the amount of the damage was assessed in Bastion. Then the guy says, I don't have money to pay. So then he says, so he's entitled to land, to an equivalent amount of land. So now, if he wants to give him his own Ziburis, when he's going to say, look, this is only the equivalent of your Idis. So Rabbi Shmuel Sava, but the Nizek Shaminan. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's true. Midar Raisa, we would go only according to the Nizek's field. So therefore, he would be entitled to give him this Ziburis. If he's going to give him, he has to give him what's equivalent to the best of the Nizek. So he could give him, even though by himself that's Ziburis, by the Mazik that's Ziburis, nevertheless that would be good enough, even if he has better quality fields himself. And then the point is that Abaye is saying on Mishnah that mentions the matter of Tikkun Olam would be according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the point is we would be saying that Rabbi Shmuel is saying Midrabbanan, they said that he has to pay with Idis, with his own Idis, in order to discourage him, as we're going to say on Amud Beis, in order to discourage him from damaging other people's fields and figuring, look, I can easily get away with it. All I have to do is pay Ziburis. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that we evaluate according to the best of the Mazik. So in that case, in other words, the Mazik is always going to have to give. If he's going to be paying in land, then he's going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay with his own Idis. Therefore, according to the Mishnah, wouldn't work out according to him because the Mishnah is saying that this is only a takana de rabban. Tosfos mentioned the point over here. Now, why don't you say the other way around? Suppose that the Mazik's Idis is equivalent to the Nizek's Ziburis. So then, obviously, we certainly don't make him go and buy better land in order to give it. Then we'll tell him, you give him your idis, even though relative to the nizik, that's ziburis, and therefore there's nothing to talk about a machloikas in that case. Tosfos also mentions a point that we're going to learn in Baba Kama in a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem, that you have the question, when you're paying in the Metaltlin, do you also have to pay with the best of your Metaltlin, or is it that either you pay money or you pay if you're going to, or either you pay money or you pay with the best of your field and you don't have any other alternative, or is it that we're going to learn over there that you have also the option, according to one opinion, and this is the halacha, of paying metaltlin even if they're not such good metaltlin, because the Gemara explains over there, any metaltlin are considered good because you could take them someplace else and sell them. So Rashi is implying over here, actually saying that that when he wants to pay him with karka because he doesn't have any money, then he can pay him. Then we have this discussion about paying him with idis, and the Rachronim will talk about that Rashi makes this with Chassam Sofer and so, and others explain that Rashi is coming to Bavor and Tosfos's question, why we say only this one case where the Mazik's worst field is equivalent to the Nizik's best. And why don't we say that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be enough to give him his own idis, and Rabbi Shmuel would say that he would have to pay with money. Tosfos just leaves the question, but Rashi is trying to bavor in it by saying, look, if he had money, he wouldn't be paying with land in the first place. We have to be saying that he's talking about that he has no land, that he has no cash available, and therefore he wants to pay with land. So the Gemara says, my time of Rabbi Shmuel. So why does Rabbi Shmuel say that we go according to the best field of the Nizik rather than the Mazik? So like this, he says, Nemra Sodeh L'Matav and Nemra Sodeh L'Mayla. Because in the Pasuk, you have the word Sodeh twice. First, the Pasuk goes, Ki Yaber Ish Sodeh Ekerem, a person damages a field or a vineyard, V'Shilachas V'Iro, he lets his animals loose, Uvir V'Sdeyacher, and they destroy in somebody else's field, Mate of Sadehu, Mate of Kami Yishalem, then he has to pay with the best of his field and the best of his vineyard. So, in the first half of the Pasuk, which is the Sodeh, obviously the one of the Nizek, because that's the one that got damaged. Therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel says, Mas Sodeh Hamur L'Maila de Nizek, just like that first Sodeh, refers to the field of the Nizik, the same way, the one in the continuation of the Pasuk is also the one that belongs to the Nizik. So therefore, he says that, when the Torah is saying, Mate of Sadeo, Mate of Kam Yishalem, it means you only have to pay, with land, whatever is equivalent to the best land that the Nizik has. And if that happens to be, even though the Mazik has much better quality lands, we don't make him pay with those. He can pay with even his Ziburis if that's equivalent to the Nizik's Ziburis. What does Rabbi Akiva say in his Svara? He says, Mate of Sadeh Yishalem Dahech, become Yishalem. Yeah, but the Pasuk says, Mate of Sadehu Yishalem, best of his field, he should pay. Therefore, showing that Sadehu refers, Mate of Sadehu refers to the field of the one that's paying. So therefore, that would be the best field of the Mazik. So yes, even if the Mazik has, much better quality fields than the Nizik, then he's going to have to pay with those. So what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? It's true that the word Sadehu in the second half of the Pasuk is in the context of paying. But he says, fine, Ahani Gzeira Shava Vahani Kru. Okay, so what you have is the Gzeira Shava helps you in one way to teach us that the Nizik Sheminan and the Pasuk, the simple meaning of the Pasuk, also is effective to teach us. We work with both of them. Ahani Gzeira Shava L'Chadamaran. The Gzeira Shava tells us what we said, that it means Sadehu Shal Nizik. Ahani Kra, what does it mean? That we can also benefit from, and we can learn something from the simple meaning of the Pasuk, like Rabbi Akiva is saying. He says, De'i Islay, Mazik, Idis, Ziburis. Suppose the Mazik only has Idis and Ziburis. He doesn't have any Bainness. The Ziburis today, Loy Shabi, Ki Idis, Nizik. What happens if his Ziburis is worth less than the Idis of the Nizik? So in other words, up until now, we were assuming that the Mazik Ziburis is equal in quality to the Nizik's Idis. Now, let's say, though, the Nizak has slightly better Ibis, so his falls in, so his would be the equivalent of Beinonis, his would be the equivalent of Beinonis for the Nizak, except the Nizak, the Mazik, rather, except the Mazik doesn't have any Beinonis. He happens to only have Ibis and Ziburis. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, without the Pasuk, without the simple meaning of Meitav Sedeu Yishalem, you would have thought that maybe he can get away with paying paying Ziburis. In other words, Rashi says we would say the Torah is not going to put on him a chiyuv of paying with something that's better quality than the idis of the nizik. If we only add the gzeira shalom, so we would say, let's say for example, the nizik's idis is worth, so the nizik's idis is worth $100 an acre. The Ziburis of the Mazik is worth $90 an acre. So you would have said, okay, well, 90 is close enough to 100. What are we going to go to his Idis, which is worth $200 an acre, and make him pay with that? That's far beyond what the Idis of the Nizik is. So if we only had the Zeta Shovel, we would say, yes, he could get away with that. Because we have the words made of Sadehu Yishalim, which Rabbi Akiva is pointing out. The fact is, there you have the word Sadeh in connection with the one who's paying it. So Rabbi Shmuel says, that's fine. In that case, then it's true. We're going to take from his idis. We're going to take from his $200 an acre field and pay the nezek, because the fact is the guy doesn't have anything else that's equivalent or greater in value than the nizek's idis. So in short, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel would say if he has something equal to the nizik, if he has something equal to the nizik's idis, then we can take that from him, even though for himself it's ziburis. But if he doesn't have something that's equal to that, then we have to go to the next one that he has, even if that's worth far more, even if that is idis. So Rabbi Shmuel would say that that's what we have from the Zeta Shava, as well as from the simple meaning of the pasuk. So that takes care of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So again, Rabbi Shmuel is saying the Daraisa, there can be a case where Mazik pays with Ziburis, his own Ziburis, that is, namely in this case, for example, where his Ziburis is worth $100 an acre, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is saying, the Mishnah is telling us, nonetheless, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, eventually the Chachamim made a rule, they took an olam, not to do that, but instead to make him pay out of $200 an acre field. Obviously, as we talked about yesterday, it means it's going to be a smaller amount of property, but the point is, if a person is going to receive land in payment, he would rather receive idis, even with a smaller amount, because if he later on wants to resell it, he's more likely to find buyers for a plot of idis than he is for a plot of ziburis, even though the plot of ziburis is larger. Okay. Now, let's continue in the braisa that we quoted yesterday. We said, after Rabbi Shmuel had said that point about Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Karmei, right? Rabbi Akiva had answered in the Braisa, we said, Rabbi Akiva, the Pasuk is only coming to tell us that Nizokin collect from Idis, and Rabbi Akiva says, as far as Hektish. Now, the first half of what Rabbi Akiva means, we can understand easily enough. Based on what we just said, it means Rabbi Akiva is saying, you, Rabbi Shmuel, are telling us that there are cases where Mazik can pay with his own Ziburis. Nope, that's not how it is. He always has to pay with his own Idis, and the Pasuk is stressing that point by saying, Meitav Karmei Yishalem. Because Rabbi Akiva is not using that Zeta Shava. In fact, there are Rishonim who talk about that it may not be a full fledged Zeta Shava. Otherwise, was Rabbi Akiva doing with it? It may just be one of those kinds of things that Rabbi Shmuel says is Gili Milsa Alma, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Anyway, so what does Rabbi Akiva mean though? With the second half of his statement, B'kal v'chaim v'hekdesh. So what does he mean? So my kal v'chaim v'hekdesh. Ilema, do you mean a case, the Nadche Tota Didan, the Tota the Hekdesh, where an ox belonging to a regular Yid, gored and damaged, an ox of Hekdesh? And we're saying, therefore, that Hekdesh is entitled to collect from Meitav, from Idis, What do you mean? Can't be. On the contrary, show re'eu omer achmona v'lo show shel hekdesh. When the pasuk presents this concept and says when one person's shur damages or kills the other one, so it says, uses the expression show re'eu, the shur of his colleague, which implies a v'lo show shel hekdesh. So it excludes a shur of hekdesh. As a matter of fact, if your ox goes and gores and kills an ox of hekdesh, then you'll in fact be potter. Because of that word, re'eu. Tosfos discusses, so why do we have to say we're talking about a case of keren, a case where gore? Why don't we say instead we're talking about shein v'regel, you have a plot of land where hekdesh is growing fruits or vegetables or grain or whatever, and your animal went and damaged that field. And there it doesn't say re'eu. So Tosfos says that you still wouldn't be able to use the Kal v'Chomer, because on the other hand, once we establish by Keren, once we establish that by one type of Nezek, the Hedyot has a stronger position, namely, since the Pasuk is saying Re'ehu, then Potter, in that case, then you could argue that even if you tried to make a Kal v'Chomer to Shein V'Regel, you'd be able to shlug it up. And Tosfos goes on to discuss the possibility that maybe, in fact, all Mizokin, a person is potter by Hekdesh, not just Keren, but we learn from that to all the other ones. With the exception of, we know that if a person damages Truma of a Koyen, then he does have to pay the Koyen, but that's a separate case. That's basically that he's stealing from somebody else. So we would say that Hekdesh, though, is different. Anyway, so it can't mean that Rabbi Akiva means that, because in a case of Keren of Hekdesh, and again, according to one possibility in Tosfos, maybe even with other kinds of Nezakin of Hekdesh, you're in fact potter. You're not paying anything at all, let alone Meitav. Ella, so no, we have to say Rabbi Akiva is talking about La'oimah Harei'olai, so we're not talking about Nezakin, let's say. Let's say we're talking about La'oimah Harei'olai Mona L'Bedek Abayis. A person says, I pledge a mona, 100 zuz, to Bedek Abayis, where if he doesn't pay up, the osi gizba v'shokul me'idis, you're going to tell me that Akiva means that the treasurer of the Beis Mikdash can come and collect a mona's worth of land from your idis. The question is, and we're saying the Kal v'Chomer is that if a hedyot damages somebody else, he has to pay idis. Kal v'Chomer that if he owes money to Hekdesh, he pays idis. The Gemara says, why? Lo yehei ela baal choy. Why? At most, we should consider Hekdesh in this regard to be like a Baal Choyv, to be like a creditor, like a regular case where you lent somebody money or whatever. O Baal Choyv, Dinei Bebeinus. And a Baal Choyv, as we said in the Mishnah, gets Beinus. Midar Daisa, he doesn't even get Beinus. Midar Daisa, as we're going to talk about, he gets only Ziburis. But in any case, the point is that Rashba explains, the Gemara's question is, even after the Takanas Chachamim, we're still saying he never gets upgraded to Idis, so why would Rabbi Akiva say that in the case of Hekdesh, he should get upgraded to Idis? Or Hekdesh should be upgraded to Idis. Why? The Chitema Kasavar Rabbi Akiva Baal Choyv Shokol Be'idis, Kinizokin, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with our Mishnah, and says that a regular Baal Choyv also collects from Idis. So the same way over here, Hekdesh should have the right to do that. But the Kal v'Chomer doesn't work. Ikar l'mifrach. Still though, if you tried to make a Kal v'Chomer and say Madach, a regular Baal Choyv gets Idis, if we said Rabbi Akiva holds that way, how much more so Hekdesh? But ikar l'mifrach, we can slug it up. Mala Baal Choyv shekin yofa kochem and nizokin. Because a Baal Choyv has a stronger position when it comes to nizokin. Because we said, if my ox gores your ox, then I owe you, and I even owe you Meitav. I even owe you Idis, if the debt is going to be paid in land. Toma behektish shekin hura kochem and nizokin. How are you comparing to Hekdesh, whose position is weaker when it comes to nizokin? Because, as we said, if my ox gores an ox of Hekdesh, then I'm potter. So then you could say, so in that case, so we don't have a Kal v'Chomer to say that just because if we were to say that a Baal Choyv gets Idis, therefore we should say Hekdesh should also get Idis, it doesn't follow. So the answer is, Lo'olam denagche Torah didan matorah v'Hekdesh. Let's go back to the original understanding. We are in fact talking about, to explain Rabbi Akiva, that we're talking about that an ox belonging to a regular yid gored and damaged or killed an ox of Hekdesh. You're saying that we said in that case you're potter? No. Rabbi Akiva, Savala, Kribshim, and Manasseh, D'Tanya, we learn in a braisa that Rav Shimon ben Manasseh holds different. He says, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Shor shal hek v'shenogach shor shal hed yipotter. On the contrary, he says, from Re'ehu, we're learning the other way around. If an ox belonging to Hektish gores an ox belonging to a head yet, to a regular yid, potter, then Hektish would be potter from paying for that. And on the contrary, he says, if an ox of Hektish gores an ox, if an ox of a regular ox gores an ox of Hektish, ben tam or ben mord, mashalim nezek sholim, then whether your ox is a tam or a mord, either way, he's paying nezek sholim. So in other words, he takes the word re'ehu and say the other one, says the other way around. That Re'ehu teaches us that only if the goring ox belong to Re'ehu are there payments, but not if the goring ox belong to Hektish. And furthermore, that it teaches us that only in the case of Re'ehu do we distinguish between Tam and Mord as far as paying Chatzin Nezik or Nezik Sholem, but when it comes to Hektish, then Rav Shimon ben Manasseh is saying there's no difference. You always pay the full amount. So then, in that case, Rav Akiva in this braisa could be following Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and saying, in that case, then that's what he means. If by a hedyot in such a case you would have to pay with meitav, if you're paying with land and with idis, how much more so when you're paying Hektish? So we could understand Rav Akiva that way. But the Gemara says, if you're going to tell us that Rav Akiva holds like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, mimai de be'idis de nizik is ibodis de mazik pligi, well then who says, even to begin with, we were assuming all this time that Rav Akiva is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel about the case we had before where the mazik ziburis is equal in value to the nizik's idis, and we said before Rabbi Shmuel will allow the mazik to pay with his own ziburis, and Rav Akiva is going to require him to pay with his own idis, so how do we know that they're arguing on that point? Maybe they both agree that we go according to the nizik, so therefore they would both agree in this scenario the mazik could pay with his ziburis. Maybe the machlokas is only on Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and the Chachamim's point. So Rav Akiva will say that the person who damages Hektish is chayev, and therefore you can learn from that a kavah chomer about idis. Rabbi Shmuel several like Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shmuel would hold like the Chachamim who say you're potter if you damage Hektish, and therefore he holds that you're potter when you're paying for Hektish, so he doesn't have any kavachomer over there. So instead he learns about he doesn't hold that kavachomer, but they would both agree that you go according to the idis of the nizik and not the mazik. So maybe that's why. Why do we have to assume that Rav Akiva is also arguing on the question of whether we go according to idis demazik? So the answer is in Cain, my loy bar kosu. Yeah, but in that case, what would Rav Akiva mean with his expression loy bar kosu, implying the pasuk is not coming. The pasuk is not coming to tell us this that you're saying about idis to nizik. Rather, it's coming to tell us something else. So that means that Rabbi Akiva has to be arguing with the din that Rabbi Shmuel said. Va'oid my kavachomer lahektish. And also, what would Rabbi Akiva mean when he says kavachomer lahektish? What would be if he holds that you're being mako on the mazik and allowing him to pay with his own ziburis, because it happens to be equal in value to the nizik's idis, then what's the words kavachomer lahektish? Where does that come in over here? What kind of kavachomer? It's a kula already. So what are you saying? Kavachomer that will also make all when it comes to hektish? Tosfos explains the second question a little bit differently. The question is, what do you mean a kavachomer lahektish? He's not learning from a kavachomer, he's learning from the word re'ehu. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, I agree what you're saying, it does say by hektish the word re'ehu, but I'm learning that re'ehu means you're pattering him completely. So Rabbi Akiva would say, okay, I learned the word re'ehu to say he's chayev, but ultimately he wouldn't be learning from a kavachomer, he'd be learning from how we understand the word re'ehu. And Tosfos brings another explanation that also the question is, my kavachomer lahekdish. If you're telling me that both, if you were to tell me that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree, you go according to Idis and Nizim. Meaning, in other words, you would say that you would say that you look at what's the best quality land that the Nizik has, and you go according to that. Suppose that Hektish is the Nizik. How do you know? You're saying right now, as far as the lands that we know that Hektish owns right now, the best they own is something that's Ziburis. How do we know? There's not someplace else in the world where they own land that is actually Idis. After all, somebody at the other end of the world could have donated something to Hektish, and then we, the Gizborim in Eretz Yisrael, have no way of knowing. So obviously that would show that we have to go according to the Mazik, where his properties are here, and we know what, and we know what's available. Anyway, so we can't say that Rabbi Akiva holds that way. So, it has to be that Rabbi Akiva actually is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel on this point of Idis to Mazik and Idis to Nizik. You can't just say that he's arguing on the point of whether you have to pay Hektish or not, because then the wording of the Braisa doesn't really fit. And furthermore, for Amar of Ashi, Tanya Behedya. In fact, Rav Ashi says we have a clear braisa that says that Rav Akiva is arguing on that point. When it says, Mate of Sedeo, Mate of Ikaim Yishalim, another braisa says very clearly, Mate of Sedeo Shal Nizik, or Mate of Kaim Shal Nizik, Dire Rav Yishmal, Rav Akiva, I mean, Mate of Sedeo Shal Mazik, or Mate of Kaim Shal Mazik. So we see clearly, it's not just a matter of Rav Akiva holding like Rav Shimon and Manasseh and talking about what you do in the case where the damage involves Hektish. It has to be that that he's actually arguing on this point. Whose Idis do we take into consideration when we're saying that a Mazik pays an Idis, that Rabbi Shmuel is holding according to the Nizik and Rabbi Akiva is holding according to the Mazik? So therefore, it's not that we're creating a machlokas. It's not that we're being doichet to create a machlokas where there wasn't one. We see clearly from that braisa that there isn't that such machlokas. But so far, that would require us to say that our Mishnah, again, is going only according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't work. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's no reason to list Hanizok and Shaman Lahan Be'idis among things that are Dirabbanon, because the fact is it is Daraisa based on that Pasuk and based on Rabbi Akiva's understanding. Okay. The Gemara continues. Ravina Omar. So Ravina gives a different answer than Abaya. Actually, we could, after all, say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and that's preferable, because in general, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. Here it is also, we do go according to Mate of Sedeo and Mate of Kaimish on Mazik. So therefore, so we would rather be able to say that the Mishnah works according to Rabbi Akiva. He says, not a matter of Zakonas Fachamim, but they took an Olam, it's a matter of Midar Raisa, that we go according to the Mazik's field. Our Mishnah, within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, would be following Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Rabbi Shimon having been one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Akiva. So he says, when he says, what he means is not that it's a takana of the Chachamim, but in other words, the reason why the Torah itself says that is because of Tikkun Olam. So usually when we say something is Mabdei Tikkun Olam, we mean it's a takana of the Chachamim, but here we're saying that Rabbi Shimon is explaining that the Torah itself is telling us a concept of Tikkun Olam by saying that the Mazik pays his bet with his best land. So Rabbi Shimon, the Dorish Taima Dekra, Rabbi Shimon in general holds that we darshin the reason behind the mitzvah in the Torah, and we use that even to derive details of the din. Rashi explains the classic case where they argue about that is in Bav Metzia. You have the Torah tells us when you're taking security for a loan, you're not allowed to take an almana's clothing. Now, why not? So Rabbi Shimon says the reason is because we're talking about where the almana is poor, and we know the Torah tells us that if you take a mashkin from somebody, then you have to return it to him every day or every night, depending whether it's something that's usually used by day or by night. So what's going to happen? Rabbi Shimon says, then the Torah is concerned for her reputation. If every day you're coming and picking up the mashkin, and every day you're dropping it off, and every night you're dropping it off, or vice versa, after a while, tongues are going to start wagging, and people are going to think that something improper was going on with you. So to avoid that, to save her dignity, the Torah says, loisach al beggar almana. But Rabbi Shimon says, that being the case, that would mean this din does not apply when the almana is rich, and you don't have to return her the thing every day, because she doesn't need it. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say that the din is across the board. So Rav Shimon, do we say Dorish Taima Dekra? He'll look for the reasons behind the mitzvah and then use that to derive details of the mitzvah. Another example, Tosfos Springs, is, for example, we say that a Jewish king, is not allowed to have more than a certain number of wives. So Rav Shimon says over there in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that if they're all tzidkonius and they're not going to turn away his heart from Hashem, then he is allowed to have multiple wives because then there's no concern about that. Because since the Torah's only concern is lo yosu levavai, then in that case this wouldn't apply. And again, Chachamim disagree and say that the din is across the board. Anyway, Tosfos points out the fact is where there's no nafkamina in halacha, where then the Chachamim will agree darshin and time of the krah. Sure, they have no problem trying to find reasons behind mitzvahs. They're just saying we can't do like you're saying, Reb Shimon, and say that darshin and time of the krah, even to say when the halacha applies and when it doesn't apply, they say we can't do that. Anyway, so Rav Shimon is saying, Matam, Farmer. Rav Shimon is telling us, why is it? Matam and Izokin, Shaman Land Idis. Why is it that Izokin, get Idis, is Mipnei Tikkun Olam? The Torah itself is putting in something, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So unlike most of the other things in our Mishnah, which are Takonis of the Chachamim, here this is actually a Din Daraisa, and Rav Shimon is just saying, why did the Torah give us this Din Daraisa? The reason is because of Tikkun Olam. Zetanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, showing that Rav Shimon is going to explain that the reason behind this concept of Meitav is Mepnei Tikkun Olam. The Braisa says, Omer Rav Shimon, Mepnei Ma Omer Anizokim Shomim Lahem Be'idis, why is it that the Torah says that, as far as the thing with the king and the wives, actually, I said it a little wrongly. Reb Shimon says, on the contrary, even if it's only one wife who Mesira Es Libo is going to cause him to turn away from Hashem, then he wouldn't be allowed to marry. Anyway, the point is, again, we see Darshin and Taima Dekra. But Reb Shimon is saying, Name Ma Omru HaNizokin Shaman Lahem Be'idis. Why did the Chachamim say that Nizokin get Idis if they're going to be paid in land? Mipnei Gazlonim, Mipnei Chamsonim. Because in order to forestall people who would steal land or people who chamson. The difference is a gazlan steals the field outright. A chamson, the Gemara explains in other places, will pay money for it, but it'll still extort you to sell it to him. So the Torah wants to forestall such people. Kadesh Yoma Odom, a person should think to himself, Lomani goes over Lomani Chomis. Why should I steal and why should I be chaymes? Why should I extort? Lamacha based in Yodrim and Achosev and Noten Sodan Ashali. Very soon, the guy is going to go to Basedin and Basedin is going to find me guilty and they're going to go into my property and take away my nicest field. The same can Amashkos Vatora Mate of Sedeo Mate of Kami Yishalad, basing themselves on what it says in the Torah that you have to pay with your best field. So I don't want that. I don't want to lose my best field. But Kinhaman is Dokin Shaman Lahamidis. And therefore, the Torah says, when you say, Lefichach Omru, when you say, they said, really means the Torah says, and in fact, there is such a deal, so Lefichach Omru Torah, therefore, that Nizokin Shaman Lahem Be'idis, that Nizokin get paid in Edis. So that way, it helps discourage people from trying to steal or otherwise take over fields illegally. The Ramban actually points out that a chamson doesn't really belong in this braisa. What do you mean? Where's the concern about paying from Meitav? He already did pay at the time he bought the field. He paid. It's fair market value. All he did is he extorted and forced the landowner to sell to him. So why is he paying now? So there's an answer. Let's say, for example, you could have a case even involving a chamson where the field went up in where the field or whatever it is that he stole went up in value, and then he broke it. Where the din is that then he has to pay the higher value. So then we would say that because he took it illegally and the other guy wasn't miyayish yet, so therefore that would be a case where he pays from Meitav even though he paid previously. So we see that Reb Shimon is holding that the reason behind the Torah's saying that a nizek gets meitav is because of this kind of situation. And for that reason also, Rav Shimon would be saying that, again, that's why, that precisely for that reason, Rav Shimon is saying, because of that, we go according to the Mazik's field. Had it not been for that, the Chachamim, who don't hold of that consideration, they would say, well, therefore, we don't need to. We could instead, well, they could hold like Rav Akiva and say that you go according to the Mazik, but they could also be holding like, they could also be holding like Rabbi Shmuel, who say you go according to the Nizik's best fields, and therefore it's not, therefore you're not necessarily, therefore the Torah is not necessarily doing something to discourage this person from doing this thing in the future. Okay. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Shimon continues, why did the Chachamim say that a Baal Choyv collects from Beinonis? Again, there's a Gilson with name Ma Omra Torah, and then there's a question on that. So what do you mean? The Torah doesn't say it. We said before that a Baal Choyv gets from Ziburis Midaraisa. And the answer is sometimes the word Omra Torah refers to a Takana of the Chacham. Anyway, why do we say Baal Choyv Bebeinis? And the question is, why not Ziburis? Why not Idis? And the reason is, Kadesh la Yira Adam, Sodana, Lachaveri, Sodana, Vidirana, a person shouldn't see that the other person has a nice field or a nice house, the Yonran, he's gonna think to himself, Ekbots Velvenu, let me go ahead and lend him money, Kadesh Agbenu Bachoyvi, that way later on I can collect that nice field or that nice house for my debt. And that would be the case if Baalei Choyv were to get Idis, Lefrichach Amru, therefore they said that a Baal Choyv gets Beinonis, and therefore he's not going to be so incentivized to try to lend, to do predatory lending like that in order to get, because it's just Beinonis, it's not really worth his time to go and do predatory lending like that. So they want to ask, Elamati, Yehe the Ziburis. Well, by that logic, why are we telling him Beinonis? In that case, he should get only Ziburis. And for sure he's not going to go and try Dafka to lend money for the purpose of eventually taking that over. And the answer is, then you have the opposite problem. You can't have to noil delos with no labor. In that case, you're going to lock the door in front of people who want to borrow money. Nobody's going to want to lend money because they're going to say, if all I get is Ziburis, then I don't want to, or there may be a very likely case where all I collect is Ziburis, then I don't want to bother lending you money in the first place. We talked about yesterday, Tosfa says that, when the person dies, when the loiva dies, and the Malva is collecting from the Yisraelim, and he said in the Mishnah, and then he only collects from the Ziburis, fine, that's different. The person, when he lends money, doesn't necessarily take into consideration the fact that the other guy is going to die so soon anyway, and that he's going to have to deal with the Yisraelim, so therefore it's not going to discourage him from lending money by the fact that he knows there might be that chance that they might have to deal with Yisraelim and collect all the Ziburis. But at least we want to have that when he's with the person himself that he dealt with, he should be able to collect Beinonis. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Ksubas Isha Ziburis. So next, Ksubas Isha, a woman collects Ksuba from Ziburis, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, like we said in our Mishnah. Rav Meir Omer Beinonis, again, like we said in our Mishnah, Rav Meir says she collects from Beinonis. And Omer Rav Shimon, and again Rav Shimon comes in with his Taima Dekra. Okay, in this case it's not really Kra, because in this case it's Atakonas Chachamim, but still, Rav Shimon is explaining, Mitnei Ma Omru Ksivas Isha B'Ziburis, why did the Chachamim say that a woman collects her Ksuba only from Ziburis? She Yosim, the Masha Isha, and this is by default, by the way, we learned in Ksubas, all kinds of cases, where you can have, to begin with, before they got married, he designated a particular field of Beinonis, or of Idis, that she's going to be able to collect from that, or he designated certain metautlin for her to be able to collect from, or whatever. Here we're talking about by default, if no such arrangements were made. So why, says Rav Shimon, should Yosef Masha Ish Roitz of Lisa, or Isha Roitz of Linasi, because even more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married, so therefore it's not going to discourage them from getting married, knowing that they may be in position to get only Ziburis, so we don't need to say that they should get Beinonis or Idis in order to give them an incentive to get married. They have an incentive, they want to get married anyway. Dabaracher, and Rav Shimon continues, there's another reason, another reason is because, after all, a woman can be divorced whether she agrees to it or not. Until Chedom Jabenu Gershem, a man was allowed to divorce his wife against her will. Whereas the husband, when he divorces her, it has to be with his rutzin. So that's another reason to say, therefore, that she gets the only Ziburis. So the Gemara says, my Dabar Acha. What is that? First of all, what do we need that Dabar Acha for? And how does that explain anything? So Rashi explains that. So Rashi explains that the Gemara is the Gemara wants to explain that the Braisa is not really giving us a different reason why the Ksuba comes from Ziburis. The Braisa, by the way, want to mention what is mentioning a separate point. By the way, while we're talking about the Ksuba. And while we're talking about the Ksuba, we have to mention another point in that regard, which is relevant over here, but not that it directly explains why she collects from Ziburis. On the other hand, Tosfos says that no, it means you should, that the Gemara is going to give us a second reason why we should collect only from, why should she collect only from Ziburis. So, v'chite, you might say, ki heichi demapik lo'yu, the same way as when a husband divorces his wife, the Chachamim arranged that she should get a ksuba from him. We talked about yesterday that maybe in certain cases, according to the mayor anyway, a ksuba is daraisa, but in many other cases only dirabanan. You would argue ki nafke'ihi. What happens if she's the one provoking things to cause the divorce? So what happens, for example, if she's starting fights with her husband because she wants out and she wants to get divorced? You would think nami liskinin rabbanan ksuba mina. Maybe the chachamim should set up in that case that she should be paying him a ksuba amount because she's the one who initiated things to cause the breakdown of their marriage. So therefore, no, Toshma, therefore, the Gemara, the Braisa is continuing, Isha Yotza L'Ritzonim Shalai L'Ritzona, no, because since a woman can be divorced against her will, therefore the Chachamim had to set up the concept of a Ksuba, so that Shalai Tehe Kala Be'ein of Lohitzia, so it shouldn't be that easy for him to divorce her. So, if he has to pay a certain amount, if he has to pay a large amount, then that'll hold him back from divorcing her so precipitously. But since the husband can divorce against only with his will, even if she's starting the fights, the fact is, after the mashi lovigita, he could always delay giving her a get. So therefore, if he gives her a get now, it's l'ritzonei, and therefore the chachamim are not going to set up a point that she pays him a ksuba in that case. So again, according to Rashi, this point of the Dover Acha Isha Yotze L'Ritzona is not meant to explain why a wife collects her ksuba from Ziburis, but rather pointing out a separate point. By the way, once we're talking about ksuba, why is it that in a case like that you don't have a ksuba from the wife to the husband? And the answer is because of that, because he could be Megadish only L'Ritzona, and so whatever it is that he decides to divorce her, it's L'Ritzona, and that's that. Tosfos, again, understands differently that it means that you would think, okay, on the other hand, it's true that Yosef Masha Ish Roitza Lisa, on the other hand, don't we see that the fact is that the Chachamim did not, that maybe it's more that the Chachamim want Chachina, as the Gemara is going to discuss now, that we want her to have some resources before she gets married. So maybe the real reason has nothing to do with Yosef Masha Ish Roitza Lisa or Isha Roitza Lina. See, so maybe we would say, in fact, that the main reason is because of China, is why she should collect it all. And therefore, mentioning the second point that he can divorce her against his will, and we see that even in that case, there's no ksuba that she pays him. So you see from that, therefore, that that helps uphold the reason of why she's collecting only from Ziburis. Okay. So let's discuss that point further. We said Ksubas Isha B'Ziburis. So Amam Azutur Beidur Rav Nachman Lo Yamaran Elami Yasin. Now he says this is only when she's collecting her ksuba from the Yisoinim. So either her husband died or she was divorced, and then before she had to collect the chance to collect the ksuba, he died. Then, and she's collecting from the Yisoinim, then she gets only from Ziburis. Avol Binedi Day, but says Mazutra, if she's collecting from the husband himself, the Beninus, then she collects from Beninus. And not from Ziburis. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that basically Mazutra would hold that the Ksuba is Daraisa, so Daraisa ought to have been Idis, but again, the Chachamim don't want to give her an incentive to try to provoke her husband into divorcing her so that she can collect his Idis, so therefore the Chachamim downgraded it to Beinus. Okay, so, So he says, but ordinarily she would get from bainness. But the Gemara says, miyasmi my iria. Why do you need, in that case, why does the Mishnah need to mention ksubasisha? Miyasmi my iria ksubasisha. After the kol mirinami. The same is true with anything else you're collecting from Yisraelim. De kotnan, ein nefraim minachos minichsi Yisraelim element is Ziboris. We said in the Mishnah that when you're collecting from nichsi Yisraelim, it's always going to be from Ziboris. So a ksuba is nothing special in that regard. So according to Mazutra, why would the Mishnah be singling out of Suba? El Olav Mine. So wouldn't it mean, therefore, we have to be talking about that the Mishnah is saying she's collecting from him, not from the Yisraelim, and nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that according to the Chachamim, she gets only Ziboris. The answer is, La'olam Miyasmi. No, because you could say that it means specifically from Yisraelim, like Mazutra says, Uksubas Isha Itzurichale. On the contrary, the chiddush would be that even a ksubas isha collects only from ziburis. In that case, where she's collecting from Yisraelim. And the point of the Mishnah having to tell us that, safdat chamina mishum china akilo rabbanan gaba, you would think, after all, because of china, maybe the chachamim should be makel and allow her to collect from something better than ziburis. So china, we've talked about before in our masechta, and learned about it in ksubas as well, and in other places, there's a few different explanations what china means. Rashi says it means that you want men to be attractive to women, so they should want to marry them. So in other words, if we would think, because of that, we don't want that a woman should know she's only going to get Ziburis, then she may figure, why should I bother getting married if all I'm going to end up collecting my ksuba from is Ziburis? So Mishum Chachina, we would think that the Chachamim would upgrade her to bainness with this, and we're saying that not. Tosfos here and in other places explains that chachina is a brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, that the other way around, that chachina means, on the contrary, you want to make her more attractive to potential husbands, that she should have some assets. When she has some assets, then people will be more likely to be willing to marry her. So therefore, again, you would think that therefore we don't want to have, so she's going to be married the first time and collected only Ziburis, and then later on, other people are not going to be so interested in marrying her. So therefore, maybe Mishum China, we should want to have that she should be able to have Beninus or Idis, and we're saying not so. And then a third explanation, the Aruch gives a third explanation of China, which we've also talked about before, that it means because she knows and she's in a position to get Idis or Beninus, then therefore she's going to serve her husband much more loyally in order to Timsa Chema Fanav, in order that she should have a nice, happy marriage. And we're saying that the Chachamim didn't take that into consideration, and still we're saying, Kamash Malan, that still the Chachamim still were saying that even in that case, you're collecting from Yisraelim, we still, the rights of the Yisraelim override all of that. Override that concern of China, and therefore she collects only from Ziburis. But Mazutra is saying, other than that, yes, there is the consideration of China, and therefore she should be able to collect from Beinus. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabba Toshma. So come, let's prove from a Braisa. Rameyo Oymek Suba, actually, we have these words in our Mishnah, but Rameyo Oymek Suba's issue of Beinus. Reb Meir is saying that a woman's ksuba is collected from Beninus. So we had this in the Mishnah, we had this in the Braisa earlier on the Omud as well. So you have to ask, who is the Mishnah or the Braisa talking about that Reb Meir is saying she collects from Beninus? Ilema Miyasmi, is it that we're talking that she's collecting from Yisraelim? Less whether Reb Meir holds it's not in Ephraim and Chosi Yisraelim Elamin Aziboris. Would Reb Meir not agree with what it says in our Mishnah that from Nichsi Yisraelim collect only from Ziboris? Fine, of course he's a Tana, he could argue with that, but we don't find anywhere where he does that. So we shouldn't assume without any kind of proof that he actually means that when you're collecting from Yisraelim, you should be collecting from Beninus. So it must be we're talking about, the mayor is talking about she's collecting from him himself. Miklal d'rabbanan sabri b'ziburis. That shows, therefore, that the Chachamim would disagree with him and say, even in that case, collecting from him, she only gets Ziburis. So now, not like Mazutra, who says that even according to the Chachamim, she would get Beninus in that case. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. Lo'olam miyasni. You could say that Meir is talking about where she's collecting from Yisraelim. And again, the shiny ksumasisha, mishum china. Again, because of the matter of china that we said before, Then Reb Meir was going to say that in that case, usually he would agree that from Yisraelim you collect only from Ziboris, but in this particular case, Mishum China, then we should upgrade her to Beinus. And so the mayor would say in that case she says she gets bainanis, and the Chachamim would say that even then she still gets only ziburis. But we could be talking about, Reb Meir is talking about where she's collecting from Yisraimim, maybe where she's collecting from him himself, then Reb Meir would agree that she only gets Ziburis. Reb Meir would say that she always gets Bainus. If she's collecting from him, Reb Meir would say for sure she gets Bainus. And if she's collecting from, And the Chachamim would disagree and say that she gets from Ziburis and from Yisoyimim as well. We would say, Reb Meir would say she still collects from Bainus. It's Yisoyimim, but Mishum Chino, we want her to get something good, and therefore we allow her to get Bainus. And again, the Chachamim would say, look, you're collecting from Yisoyimim, and it's Tzuvas Isha, therefore it's only Ziburis. So still no proof against Mazlitra. So Omer Abaya Toshmas, Abaya says, come, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. Hanizokin shaman lahan be'idis. We said nizokin get paid off in idis. Or ba'alchoy be'beinis oksubas isha be'ziburis. So again, you have to ask, miman, from whom are we talking about that we're collecting in each of these cases? Ilema miyasmi. Do we mean that we're collecting, either each of them is collecting from Yisraelim? Again, it doesn't work. My iri oksubas isha, then why mention that it's only oksubas isha gets ziburis? Afilo kol haninam. All of them get only from ziburis because later on it says in the Mishnah that you collect from Yisraelim only from ziburis. So obviously we're talking about you're collecting from him himself, from the husband himself, and therefore we see that that Yaksubas Isha collects only from Ziburis. So not like Mazutra is saying that the Ziburis is only when she's collecting from Yisraelim and otherwise she gets Bainus. The Mishnah seems to be clearly implying not like that. So the Gemara answers, Amar Achba Yaakov, Hoch of Mayaskinen. What we're talking about over here is the father is an orev for his son's nizikin. Now you have like this. There's a concept we know that you have an orev is so Reuven is lending Shimon money and Levi says I'll be the orev, I'll be the guarantor. If Shimon can't pay back, then I'll pay back. The din is over there that and the Gemara mentions this in several places. I think we had this earlier in the Masechta as well. That the Malva still has to go to Shimon first. He can't go to Levi first and say pay. He has to first go to Shimon, and only if Shimon can't pay, then he can go to Levi. That's a regular orev. Then you have what's called an orev kablon. An Orev Kablon, you actually have Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly it takes for a person to be an Orev Kablon. Rashi over here explains that it means that he actually took the money from, so it means that Levi took the money from Reuven and brought it to Shimon. So that would be called an Orev Kablon, and therefore different dinim would apply to him. And an Orev Kablon, you can go and collect from him first. And the Tosfos discusses that. Other Rishonim discuss that, and say that Rashi explains over here by Tzuba since there's no money changing hands yet, it means that the Orev Kablon is the husband had designated Sorori, had designated Metalplin or whatever to pay off the Tzuba, and it was given to this Orev, and then the Orev is holding on to them. So then. Or the other way around, he gives them to the wife, and she in turn gives them to the Orev. So Rashi would say that's an Orev Kablon. Tosfos discusses that there's a Gemara in Baba Basra where it talks about all the dinim of Orev and Orev Kablon, where it says that actually, on the contrary, if Levi actually takes the money from Reuven and brings it to Shimon, then it's considered that he went directly to Levi, and he has no dealing, and then Reuven can't claim from Shimon at all because he didn't actually lend him directly the money. So Tosfos mentions the point over there that it depends on the Lashon that he uses, whether he uses the Lashon, Tamloi, give him, versus which would be an order of Kablon, versus that regular order would be a Halbelo, would be lend him money. So Tosfos says you need both, and then Tosfos says you need both. There are other Rishonim who say that you only, that there are other Rishonim who explain that in general, an order of Kablon means only it depends on the wording and not at all on whether he actually took the item and gave it to somebody else and gave it to the loiva. Anyway, so so here, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to understand that we're talking about over here a case involving an order of kamla. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying, Chochav Ma'askinen, Kegon Shenasa Orev Nizkei Bnoi, the father became an Orev for the Nizikin of his son. So in other words, he's saying that if my son causes damage, or if he borrows money or whatever, then I'll be an Orev and I'll pay it back. So Nizkei Bnoi, or Lebal Choyv Bnoi, or Subas Kalasai. So he became an Orev for the Nizikin of his son, and then the son died after causing a Nizik, or Lebal Choyv Bnoi, or for his son's Baal Choyv, or Ksubas Kalasai, or for his daughter-in-law's Ksuba. So therefore, so in each case, v'hai ki dine. So each one of them collects from the Orev according to the din. Since the son is no longer available to pay. So therefore, we go to the Orev, and therefore each one can collect according to the thing, according to Idis, Beninus, and Ziburis, respectively. So not necessarily. So again, so Abaya was pointing out, and the Mishnah was saying, Hanizokin, Shaman Lahem, the Idis, and so forth. And doesn't that imply that a Ksubas Isha is always from Ziburis, whereas Mazutra had said that's only the case where you're collecting from Yisraelim, but now we're saying we're not talking about the wife collecting from her husband himself, we're talking about collecting from the Orev. So the difference is, in other words, we would say, the difference is, so why do we say Nizokin and Baal Choyv have the same as they had before, whereas the Ksubas Isha changes? Because the difference is, Nizokin or Baal Choyv, the Mechayim Gavu, the Nizokin and the Baal Choyv, they were able to collect even while the person was alive. So the son had caused Nezek, or the son had borrowed money. That Nezek, or that loan, would have been payable during his lifetime. So Iunami Kimagvi Kimechayim Magvi. So now, when they're collecting from the Orev, then it's considered that it's the equivalent of collecting while he was alive. Therefore, they get Idis and Bein in this respect. Ksubas Isha La'acham Misa Gavya, as opposed to a Ksubas Isha, by definition, you're collecting only after the husband dies. La'acham Misa Miman Gavya Miyasmi, and then who are you collecting it now? She's collecting only from Yisoimim, who inherited the property. And now the Yisoimim, therefore, so now instead, because, so let's say the Yisoimim don't have any property, and you're collecting from the Orev, Iunami, Kimagbi, Kalacha, Misamagbi, so all he has to give them is the equivalent of what would be done, Ma'acha Misa, from the Yisoimim, namely Ziburis. So in other words, we're talking about over here, so the case would be that the son got married, and then he died. His Yoshim took over his property. But meanwhile, his father, who was an Orev for the whole thing, then he has to pay. But we don't make him pay with anything more than the Yisoimim would have had to pay, namely Ziburis. But you could say that the Mishnah is talking about that case, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Mazutra. Tosfos, by the way, when Tosfos mentions this matter of a Kablon and discussing what exactly the difference is between between a regular Orev and an Orev Kablon. We haven't really gotten to that point yet. So actually, let's wait until we talk about the order of Kablon, and then we'll explain that. So the Gemara asks, "But typically, the order of Ksuba lo mishtabed. What do you mean, though? Never mind that. The fact is that an order of a regular loan is on the hook to pay off the loan, because that's what it means. He took on the arevus. So therefore, if the loiva can't pay, then we go to the order. But the order of Ksuba lo mishtabed is not mishubed in the first place. Because the Gemara is going to discuss this point soon. We'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that an Orev of a Ksuba is not necessarily Mishtabed, because not necessarily do we assume that he actually meant to, not necessarily do we, after all, he's only doing it in order to help the couple get married, and therefore, actually, Rashi mentions two points, that first of all, he's only an Orev, and even an Orev, a regular Orev, first of all, you can't go after him to begin with. You have to go after the other party. And second of all, in this case, the fact is, a regular Orev, at least the Malvis, spent money on his behalf. He lent out money on his assurance that he will be the Orev. Here, the woman didn't. Therefore, there'd be a reason to say that the Orev is not chayav to actually pay in the end, even if the husband can't pay up. But anyway, so we're talking about over here an Orev Yiksuba. So loy mishtabed, he doesn't become mishubad. So even if afterwards the husband or his Yoshin can't pay, we don't go to the Orev. So then how can we explain that the Mishnah is talking about a case involving an Orev? And the answer is B'Kablon. We're not just talking about a regular Oriv, we're talking about an Oriv Kablon, where an Oriv Kablon is stronger than a regular Oriv. And again, you have the question, what exactly is an Oriv Kablon? So Rashi explains over here, in this context, it would mean that the son, when he got married, he gave the wife the Talflin that she can hold on to, where eventually she can collect her silver from that. She, in turn, gave it to this Oriv as Tablonus, and then returned them. So the Oriv is holding on to them. And then Rashi finishes off. She returned them. She returned them to his son. So what does that mean? If she gave them to the Oriv, then how is it being returned to the son? So in fact, a number of Achronim have a bit of a difficulty understanding what Rashi and what Tosfos are saying over here. So anyway, Tosfos explains that it depends on that as well as the Loshon. So the Maharam actually points out that it's very difficult to understand this after he gave her the metalplin, that it becomes hers when she's giving it over to whoever it is. It's considered like a milva. So therefore, why should it be any different? Why should it be any different than a regular oriv? So the Maharam says that maybe we're talking about that the oriv took the money and gave it to the loiva. The loiva himself didn't actually deal with the malva directly. Therefore, that would be considered an oriv kablon. And when Rashi says misanat bechziratam levnoi, maybe Rashi doesn't mean that she gave them back to the son, but rather it means she gave them to the father. Meanwhile, that he should hold on to it, and then she herself took it from the father and gave it to her husband. And then the Pnei Yeshua talks about it and explains that you don't really have to be doichet that much in Tosfos. He says it's actually relatively straightforward to understand what Tosfos is saying. So he says that it just means that when the Oriv actually takes, at the beginning of the Halva, he takes the money from the Malva, so the Malva never actually dealt directly with the Loiva, then he wouldn't be considered even an Oriv Kablon. He himself is the Loiva. Here, after all, the Ksuba is basically on the husband. He's the one who's required at the time of the Nisuin to write her out of Ksuba. He gave him a Talpan, is not really as a payment, only as a Mashkin. So even afterwards, he returned the mashkin. Even if afterwards the mashkin ended up being given back to the husband, still he's considered an oriv kablon, and he's not considered a loiva because there was no actual loan here in the first place. Anyway, he was saying in the Gemara, but oriv kablon. So we're talking about he was an oriv kablon, and therefore that would be a case where he is in fact chayev to pay off the ksuba if the husband himself can't pay it. Well, the Gemara says, "Hanichalamanda Omar Kablon Apagab the Lesla Nichsel Loiva Mishtabed." Well, that works according to the opinion in Baba Basra that an Oriv Kablon, even when the Loiva doesn't have any property at the time, still the Oriv Kablon Mishtabed, he still takes on that shivur shakur. Well, then it works out well because we're talking about over here the son at the time didn't have nechosim. Because that explains, of course, why the wife is going to the father, to the Oriv Kablon, rather than to her own husband, to her own ex-husband or his Yoshin to collect the debt. But you have an opinion over there in the Gemara that only if the loiva at the time had nechosin, only then is the Oriv Kablon take even an Oriv Kablon. Only then is he taking on the responsibility. But if he doesn't have nechosim, then he doesn't take on that shibud in the first place, because then he doesn't really have this gemiras das, this solid mental idea that he's going to be taking on that responsibility. Well, then my ikal meima. Then what are you going to say? In this case, the son has no nechosim. Because if you had nechosim, then you're not going to the Oriv in the first place. So what's the scenario? Again, if we're trying to explain, again, all of this is to try to explain the Mishnah within Mar Zutra's opinion that we're saying that when we say that an Ksubas Isha is only from Ziburis, means when you're collecting from Yisoyim, but otherwise you would collect from Beninus, and here the Mishnah had said that she collects from Beninus, so therefore we're having to say, we're talking about an Oriv Kablon, but again, according to the opinion in the Gemara in Baba Basra, that even an Oriv Kablon is not always having to pay, then what are you going to say, how are you going to tie your Mishnah? And the answer is, Ibori Seimim B'dehavolei V'ishtaduf. One answer, you could say that the son did have Nechosim at the time, when he got married or when he borrowed the money or whatever. And afterwards, those fields were damaged. So now you can collect from the Oriv. The Ibori Seimim, or another answer, Kol Lagabe Brei Shabud M'shabed Nafshei. When a father is becoming an Oriv for his son, then he's willing to be M'shabed himself because he loves his son and he wants the best for him, even when the son doesn't have Nechosim. So a regular case of an Oriv problem would be saying, according to that opinion, if the Loive doesn't have Nechosim at the time, then even an Oriv Kablon is not taking on that responsibility. But when it's a father and his son, then that would be different. He is willing to take on that responsibility, and therefore we could say that the Mishnah is talking about that kind of case, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Mazurka. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, about this matter of an Oriv of Aksuba, when he's Meshabin himself and when not, and then we'll continue talking about matters involving our Mishnah and involving collecting from Idis, Vainness, and Ziburis, respect.
Shakaya, have a wonderful day.
Yeah.